joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing.
People keep track of who's supposed to sing and who's not supposed to sing. And when they find out there's nobody up there, they're going to get up something. And I appreciate these sisters doing what they do. And we don't practice a lot. Like Brother Richard said, we practice 3 days a week around here, twice on Sunday and once on Wednesday. So anyhow, we got another couple back here. If you come to Lula, especially when I'm leading the singing in the afternoon, we got Ben and Sharon Black. If they come and minister for us this afternoon, we appreciate it. Amen. Of course, they knew that when they come. I hope they understood that anyhow. That's just the way it's done. We want to create an atmosphere of worship.
To thee.
Try number 392 in the red book. And anything goes wrong around here on Sunday afternoon, especially, you can always blame it on the man that's leading this thing up here, because he gets mixed up sometimes. Amen. 392. All ye saith in light proclaim. Jesus, the light of the world, life and mercy in his name. Jesus, the light of the world, we'll walk in the light, beautiful light, walk where the dewdrops of mercy are bright, going all around us by day and by night. Jesus, let's all stand. Light of the world, hear the Savior's earnest call. Jesus, the light of the world, send the gospel through to all. Jesus, the light of the world, we'll walk in the light, beautiful light, walk where the dewdrops of mercy are bright, pouring all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world, why not seek him then today? Jesus, the light of the world, go with truth the narrow way. Jesus, the light of the world, we'll walk in the light, beautiful light, go where the dewdrops of mercy are bright, shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world. Amen. We'll change the order of service now. And maybe open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you.
Amen.
I want to see you.
How do you want to see him?
See you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory.
You love him?
Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy. And lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy.
Amen.
Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, and I want to see you.
Amen and amen. Just take a look around. You might find him. And good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like to turn in the scriptures, turn back where we've been reading in Ephesians 1, and then we're going to 1 John 2. Ephesians 1, 1 John 2. We're glad to have our visitors here with us. We've got a couple today. And Terrence messed up saying they named the baby Terrence, because no, it's Samuel. Why does he always have to mess it up? But we're glad to have the little baby with us today. Pray that the Lord would bless him and let him grow up to be a fine little fella in the Lord, because that's what we desire, right? But we're also glad to have our sister back here with us, with Sister Mill, because she's somewhere. And I assume that must be Sister Trudy. I assume that that must be your baby sister. Okay. Glad to have you. I always say to you, welcome, and come one time, and two times you're just part of us, but we're glad to have it. Remember all of the sick ones that we've had. There's many different ones that, you know, have been sick and are still sick, and pray that the Lord would take care of everybody and be with them, you know, in all of the doings. Now, remember, this week, we are going to house service on Tuesday night. Not Wednesday night, Tuesday night, because of the Christmas time where you can have with your families. So we're going to have it on the Tuesday night, okay? And then remember, there will be no Wednesday night service for the Watch Night week, all right? Because we'll be meeting on Thursday, and, you know, Brother Forney will be with us on Thursday to minister unto us, and we'll be starting at... We're going to have our ladies, if you want to bring something to eat, then bring it, and we'll have a little bit to eat before the service, and then we'll go on after the service and, you know, have something to eat. So you can do that, bring your little finger foods or whatever you bring, your sweets and stuff, and we have a good time doing that. But Brother Forney will be ministering, so come and be with us and just ask the Lord to take care of us, all right? Richard and Anna, they're up at... Brother Richard's dad's and them staying a few days. Remember them. They'll be on their way back home the middle of the week, so pray for them. I'm trying to remember. I got the whole page written down. Oh, yeah, too. Now, the Valentine's banquet for couples only, you know, all right, on, what is it, February the 13th? I believe that's right. But we need to know for certain if you're coming. Now, I know how some of you are. Some of you say, I ain't made up my mind yet. Well, you make up your mind and let us know, because we're renting a building. All right? So if you say, I ain't made up my mind, right on the board, I ain't made up my mind, so we'll leave you off of it. Okay? All right? We'll leave you off. Okay? Because we need to know, because trying to rent a building, see, you're getting 40, 50 couples. You have to find a place big enough to take care of it. So we need to know real quick about what you're, you know, if you make your plans, and then if you don't come, that's okay, but just if you're making plans or trying to come, then let us know where we can make arrangements for it, and then whatever you do, you know, we're not trying to rule nobody, to do nobody. We have a good time on our Valentine's banquet. It's been a wonderful thing that we've always had a wonderful part to deal with married couples, and we have got even into... sometimes we would get up and let, you know, the husband say something about the wife and the wife about the husband. And it's all real good fun and play games and do things. And we try to do that for you because that you, you know, it's just a banquet time for us. So, you know, the couples, please let us know for certain. All right. Ephesians 1, 1 John. Am I missing any more announcements? There's a sign-up sheet down on the refrigerator. Make sure you sign up if your plans are, because we're going to just set a date, and we probably won't tell you what the date is. We might say, next week, we're not going to do it anymore. So you make up your mind. You know, if you don't want to come, that's your business. It's not something to try to make you, but we have to make arrangements for food, for, you know, caterings and things. Everything is paid for, no problems. All you got to do is dress up a little bit. show up and dress up, just a little bit. You don't have to put on a tuck, you know, but it's nice to just to dress up a little bit. Okay. All righty. So, any other announcements? Anybody? If I do, I'll, you know, announce them later. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, and thank you, Lord, that you are God and you change not. That way, then the sons of man would not die. Because if you changed, we wouldn't have any hopes whatsoever. Yet you don't change. And Lord, we thank you for your grace and love unto us, and we pray that you'd bless each one. Remember the sick among us and the different things today. And Father, just have your way, that your love and your grace would be with each one of us. And lead us in thine understanding as to what to say. Forgive our sins, because we want to stand complete in you. And guide us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians 1. We've been reading this one now for, this will make 24 services. We're going to get around and preach on it one day. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings, where? In heavenly places, in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him, who? In Christ, right? Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom ye have redemption, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure which he hath purposed were in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the what? The counsel of his own will. Look at that. Will, all up through that. Right? That we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. All right, now let's go over to 1 John 2. It says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now to back up just a hair on the morning message, because I always do that, I run a series and I tie it together. And, you know, we've been on predestination made simple now for, this is 24 messages. And maybe one of these days we'll get around and be able to preach on it, because we read enough about it and things. But, you know, we want to make sure that we follow what, you know, I try to tell you what I believe. All right? Now, that way it's not that you don't have to worry about what I believe. See, you hear most of the preachers preach, you don't know what in the world they believe. They don't tell you, and you watch them. I've preached long enough to be a little bit to know, and you look at them, and they'll be up preaching, and boy, they'll, and all at once, one side of the church will start pulling, and that's the way they believe. You know, but if the other side preaches, that's the way they believe. Well, you can pull all you want to either way. It doesn't change what I do, because I'm just going to tell you what I believe. All right, that way you can't argue the point. All right. Now, what do we do talking about? That all things are what? No matter whether it's election, as we covered this morning, whether it's foreordination, foreordaining, predestination, calling, whatever is based upon foreknowledge. All right? See, then foreknowledge comes first. And it doesn't say, see, the scripture says there, you know, those who he foreknows, you know, he did predestinate. See, you put predestination first, and look what you've got. You've annihilated your scriptures, you've changed everything in the Bible, and yet you think, glory, hallelujah, you got a great revelation, but it won't fit the Word of God. Because if you predestinate first, then that's God choosing and selecting. But if you approach it by foreknowledge, see, and let everything, Brother Brown said, what? Predestination looks back to foreknowledge. Foreknowledge looks to destiny. All right? So everything's based on foreknowledge. If they'd have thought of that back years ago, you wouldn't have had a world divided over predestination. You may think that I'm not right in what I said this morning, but the world is divided over a simple point of whether water baptism is in the Lord Jesus Christ or Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Your religious world is divided over that. Well, the religious world is divided. Now, I'm not talking about this, that. I'm talking about the people of this message, that it's divided over the basis of predestination. But why not go by foreknowledge and let it go? Yeah, but that ain't no great mystery. You know, what do you... I thought Paul explained that you could know all the mysteries and still not be right. Well, that's his statements. But listen, so if it's by foreknowledge, then the thing formed can't say, why did you form me this way? Because he knows the foreknowledge before you ever even get here. All right, now what we were talking about this morning is being chosen in him, as we read here in Ephesians 1:4. It doesn't say chosen by him. Because, see, if you were chosen by him, then it would be God picking and choosing who he wanted. That's plain sense. All right? But if you're chosen in him, then all you got to find is him and where he's at and what he is. And we know it's the Christ. Because that's verse 3. Resurrected, sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. See? All right? So then that way you approach your predestination from the foreknowledge, and everything will line up to order, and then we're not chosen by him to be accepted. I gave you the quotes from Brother Branham this morning where he said that God didn't choose. But we got the other scripture over here. You know, we spent a whole service this morning between two scriptures. One saying, choose you this day whom you'll serve. All right? The other one, Jesus saying, I chose you. All right. Now, putting those together, if you take one of them, you're off. You take one of them either way, you're off the truth. But chosen in him, because where was we chosen at? We read it. We read it from the prophet. Chosen in him were, says it in Ephesians, before the foundation of the world. Well, that's no problem if you believe in an eternal God, that who's infinite in all of his thinking, that he, you know, by bringing man into being, you think he wouldn't know what man was going to do. Alright. So then it goes down to the basis, see, that we were chosen in him because it's in Christ. Alright, as we ended the message up saying it, see, we didn't come here with Christ in us. That's the great seed parts that they're running through the message now. Go with it. But just check it out and see. You know, it's the Christ. If I happen to be of this certain lineage, I'm okay. You know, if I was born from Adam, I'm all right. If I was born from the beast, I won't be. You know, that's a doctrine among the people of the message, you know. All right. But we don't care about that. That's none of my business. I'm just warning you about it. All right? See, but if you can see that you were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, as the scripture says, then you can look back to the Lamb's Book of Life and see that your name could be written on the Lamb's Book of Life, or it could be left off. There's not on that Lamb's Book of Life section, you know, there's not an erasing and replacing or adding to on the Lamb's Book of Life, you know, technically the Book of the Life of the Lamb that was slain, all right? Now, because it's not doing that, you're not adding or taking away names. And Brother Brown said, if your name wasn't written there before the foundation of the world, it'd never be written. Right. All right? Well, then how did he know to write it? That's the simple point I was trying to get to this morning. By his foreknowledge? What's the matter with your God? You don't believe that your God would be capable of knowing all things? You know? You don't think that he knew that he was going to send a prophet to a man in the Bible and tell him, thus saith the Lord, set your house in order, you're going to die. And the man prayed and he went back, same prophet, had to go back. How do you think that prophet felt? He's on his way down. Lord, you told me one thing, now you're telling me another, because it was true. But the man finally died. So what he told him to start with was right. Set your house in order, you're going to die. He just extended him 15 years. Well, don't you think God knew he was going to do that? See? That's the kind of God that I believe in, all right? You know, I'm kind of odd in my belief of God, but I believe that God is able to know the beginning from the end. All right? And he knew the beginning before the beginning ever got here. That's the kind of God I believe. All right? And see, there was nothing back there to him to reach down and choose one and reject the other, because it was what? In the foreknowledge, in the mind of God. We wouldn't back there as peoples. See? He was looking down to see what you would do. Amen. Now, the thing formed can't say, you formed me wrong. Right. Huh? Right. Because he can say, hey, wait a minute. Can I play you the tape where you made your choice? Yeah, right. And remember the point we were getting this morning, what? You are a free moral agent. That's right. With a right to choose. Right. And you remember the one that we gave this morning? I thought that one was a real good one. Let me see if I can find it, of what Brother Branham had to say about it. This is off the Message to Leadership, 1965. Nothing is going to harm you. I chose you. Now watch. Yep. Why? Now watch it. I chose you. Why? Because he chose Christ. Yep. Now watch it. See? You chose Christ, what's it? And he chose you. No, he chose me. Then you're not allowing him to look down at the end of it and see what all has taken place. You remember I gave you the quote where Brother Brown said it? He said, God never made, let's see, he said, you make a choice. God didn't make a choice off the Message of the Resurrection, 1956. God couldn't do that and put his predestination the way you think.
That's right. Amen.
You say, yeah, but the Bible said that he chose me. Right. In Christ.
Amen. That's right.
I ask you a simple question this morning. It will be eventually, and I'll preach on the Message part of it, but a simple question. Did you choose your children? I mean, any of you here, did you choose them? I mean, even if you went down with the, what do you call it, fertilization deal, whatever what that is. I can't get these words right, but you know what I mean. Where you take the egg and the sperm and you put them together and put them in a third person and come up with a baby. I still ain't choosing, because God's the only one who can give life. So then God before the world, did he choose his children? Are his children a part of him? If they're a part of him, he didn't choose. So Brother Branham's right.
Amen.
God didn't make a choice. You made the choice. He just knew your choice. Okay? So now let's go on to something else then. So then if, now regardless of how you're going to believe about God chose me or I chose him, you're going to come down and it don't make no difference. You ain't going to change your believing until God corrects you. I know that. I've been around 50-something years preaching. You're not going to change what you believe just because what somebody says to you. It's going to take God to come down and change you. Hey, do you remember when you first heard of the message? Huh? And how you fought it? Right? Oh, glory. Yeah, we all fought it. How much are we still fighting? Right? See? But listen. Now let's get to the point this afternoon. That if you can see that you were chosen in Him, and that when He came into the world, sure, if you were chosen of Him, when you came into the world, the prophet's right when he's saying that He came here, what? With you in Him.
Right. Sure.
Now, He never said we came here with Him in us. That's what we want to think about, because that kind of makes it like we got something to do. We're just the seeds, we're this, that, and the other. I know what Brother Ryan's talking about, all that seed. We'll get to it. But just think about it. Because what I want to do is pick up another little word here that will help us. You remember, we're still like, we're kind of halfway between the mind of God and what happens on the earth. You know, we spent 20 messages on what was up in heaven. Now we've kind of got in a between area, and we're fixing to drop on down into salvation, redemption, etc., coming through. All right. But now, see, if you can realize that you were chosen in Him. Yeah, so if you understand that, I don't want to keep going over it, but that you were chosen in Him. Not chosen by Him. Because if you're chosen by Him, then it would be Him picking and choosing. But if you were chosen in that Christ before the world,
amen.
Now you got all your scriptures right, and you got the morning stars sang together, and the sons of God shouted for joy. And Brother Brown said, how do you know that wasn't when the Lamb's Book of Life come into view? And he said that would be when that they saw the plan of redemption, I'm quoting him, coming into view, and they would be shouting about it. See, hey, did you ever notice there? It said the morning stars, the sons of God, the morning stars sang together, you know. Why would the morning stars sing? They're angels. You know, they knew about the plan of redemption. Think a little about it. They knew about the plan of redemption.
Yep. Right.
If you don't think so, why did one third of them fall, you know? Or two-thirds, or how you're going to bring it and put all it together. All right. But now listen. If we were chosen in Christ, then, listen now carefully. If we were chosen in Christ, all right, then when you came into the world, are you listening? You see, we are going into something, an understanding of predestination. If you were chosen in Christ, then you would have a representation in heaven. Now you know where I'm going. You know where we're going down to, future home, a few things in a minute. We're that kind old priest. He had a lot down here, but he had no representation in heaven. Hmm? So are you following me?
Amen.
See, John says, and see, we take that as just being, an advocate, which is Jesus Christ the righteous. We take that as just being the Holy Ghost to take care of us now. But why not put it back as to what it's really doing, to say that if we were chosen in Christ, then we have a representation in heaven.
Yeah. Amen.
Why wouldn't you want to glory over that? Okay? Because the word advocate, 3875, it means comforter. See, that's the Holy Ghost, the comforter, the thing. But it means someone call to one's side to abide with you.
Right.
or to call you. One who pleads another's cause. See, we just say advocate. All we think about is that the Holy Ghost is taking care of us. But what else do you think he's doing? Now, you might not think too much about what I'm saying, but if those morning stars sang together and the sons of God shouted for joy, you know who the sons of God are. Well, why not? The Brother Branham told us who those morning stars were. They were the angels. And you know, the Bible says that the angels are what? Ministering spirits. Do you know the rest of that scripture? They're given to the heirs of salvation. That's what the Bible says. Ministering spirits, they're appointed to you when you come into the world.
Amen.
You ever notice Brother Branham said, only the redeemed have angels. Get it all together now.
Amen.
So everybody coming into the world don't get an angel. We get all this story, you know, they got all these angels and they got this angel here. And then now you notice back about 20 years ago they started and you know they had this manger scene and they had everything. And then they put Gloria there. Right? They put a female angel out there. Well, we don't believe in that, but that's all right. That's their business. They keep economy going. So let them go ahead. You know, I don't care if you holler ho, 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 as long as he's paying out the do, where that we can live and I can get a check. I sure enjoy drawing my money from General Motors. Well, we should give everybody in the world a car. Yeah. Where I can make sure I would live. But now listen. John calls it an advocate. And it's not just the Holy Ghost as one who does, but it's an advocate. Huh? So the angels of God are given to minister unto the heirs of salvation, according to the Scripture. Huh? And see, if God knows you're going to accept Him, there's your foreknowledge again, see? Huh? Now, watch my point. I keep putting these little things in for you to think about. If he only gives the, as Brother Brown would say, only the redeemed have angels. All right? Now, so then, if only the redeemed have angels, how come the others don't have angels? See, because they're not the heirs of salvation. Now we're building up a case of helping us to understand that you better approach it by foreknowledge and let it come out to where it can be predetermined by his foreknowledge. And by predetermining, not only would he have salvation waiting on you, Sister Kathy, he would put an angel there when you're born to take care of you.
Amen.
Well, I didn't know I had an angel. Well, you hadn't heard the message then. Your prophet is one that said it. I've always said, I'm going to apologize to mine. I figure I've got two. I figured it took two of them to take care of me. You might not need but one, but it's needed two for me, and I'm going to apologize to him when I get there because I keep him busy. He never gets a vacation. Even when I'm asleep, he don't get one. All right. But listen. If we have someone to represent us, someone who can plead, now what was the other definition? One who pleads another's cause. Now we know the Holy Ghost is the advocate, right? I would just bring in the angels where you can get an idea. Right? Because you better remember one thing, and I'm not correcting Brother Branham, but it is Scripture. Brother Branham always says the angels, plural, are about those who serve him. That is not Scripture. The Scripture says the angel of God. That's not correcting Brother Branham. That's just showing he knew exactly what he's talking about. When you take all the angels and put them together, you've got one angel. Right. Which is the Holy Ghost. Because Brother Branham calls your angel the Holy Ghost. Okay? See, then that way we can have a lot of things to understand. Listen. Now, if someone is to represent me, someone who can plead my case, then it would have to be that someone would take my place, would represent me, and then I could have a representation. Now, watch what he says. Let's get both sides. So let's get a little bit of reading and see what Brother Branham says on a message called Condemnation by Representation. I would ask you to listen to that message in 1960, 1113. Now watch. Because one man represented me, and then I died because that man sinned. Then I'm a sinner by representation. Right. Now get the point then of what's been brought. That's right. You're a sinner by representation. You never, God don't hold you responsible for being a sinner. Right? He don't hold you responsible because you lie and steal and the things you do. He doesn't hold you responsible for being a sinner. Now what? He holds you responsible because you don't help yourself. Now that sounds like I must have been close to right this morning where I said you got a choice to make. But he just knows your choice. Really, there's another quote where Brother Ryan said he holds you responsible. He doesn't hold you responsible for being a sinner. He holds you responsible for remaining one. Because you can do something about it. You can do something about it, right? Now watch. Go ahead. This is still in the same message. That was paragraph 133. This is paragraph 210. And watch what he says. Now, if we have condemnation by representation, well, so how do we have condemnation? Because of high breeding in the world with the things of God. That's how we have it. Now, how do we ever get away from that? High breeding. How do we get away from it? Turn away from that inherited stuff. You come back to God and His Word. Well, look, there's one standing at the throne of God this morning to represent you. Your mother and father represented you as Adam, like Adam and Eve. In other words, as Adam and Eve. That's right. When you were born into the world, the wedlock, the things, the children. Your mother and father represented you. They brought you into the world. And they couldn't help it by bringing you into the world as a sinner. They couldn't help that. That was part of it. But see, there's one standing at the throne this morning to represent us. Right? Now to represent us. Now if we're like some people believe, well, I never did do wrong. I've been a good person. Then you don't need no representation. Right? The ones who know they've done wrong need representation. The others are just lying. But that's all right. Go on to the next one. The True Easter Seal, 1961. I said that's true because he's talking about you don't have a chance in things. You're represented by one man's disobedience. Then I don't have a chance. I said that's true because you are born a sinner. But you are represented. You are condemned to condemnation by representation. Well, then that looks very cruel. But turn it on the other side then, that we are ordained to eternal life by representation. Where one represented us to death, another represents us unto eternal life. So it puts us back again before the throne again. Every human being comes right back to the same place to make our choice. Make your choice. All right? Mom and Daddy, the sin, the world of things, we don't blame Adam and Eve, and we don't blame Mom and Daddy. So, all right? That's where I've always been really strong on that point. You say, well, my Mom and Daddy brought me this way. Yeah, they ought to took you out before it got started. You don't like that, do you? was reading there in the scripture, or listening yesterday, I believe it was, where the Bible is talking about, you know, if a child doesn't, you know what it happens if a child prophesies something wrong? In the Old Testament, you know what they done? The mom and daddy took the child out and killed it. Boy, it'd be bad now. We don't like to talk about him like that, do we? But that's what he said for him to do. He said that sin might not abide in the camp. Right? That'd be bad. See? Well, now, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll kill your child, but I believe mine needs to live. That's the way we do, right? We get our own ideas. Okay. Now, one representing us unto eternal life, one representing us unto death. All right? It's easy to see how it would be what would represent us unto death. Because we were brought into the world, born in sin, shapen in iniquity, spouse from a mother's womb, that's putting together two or three scriptures. Don't look at it. You're trying to find one. It's putting it together. Okay? Born in sin, shapen in iniquity, spouse from a mother's womb, go forth a liar. All right? So we were represented. But we don't blame mom and daddy because we reach the age of accountability. And until that time, God doesn't hold us responsible, right? But once we reach the age of accountability, then we are deciding our own selves. Like I told you one time, you can say, well, the devil put me in the pawn shop. No, I got in there by myself. I didn't need his help. I was bad enough as it was. I didn't need his help to do anything. I don't blame the old boy for everything. I kind of do a lot of things myself. I think you ought to think that way. That's all right. But listen. Someone represented me. Now, that representation was back there. Before the foundation of the world. That he represented me in Christ. Right? And by the same foreknowledge, he could look down through all the time and see what that representation would be standing in my place. Right? But he could also see that others would not want that representation. Now, nobody wants to die and go to hell, right? So we got to get a little story told, right? See, when you start talking like that, everybody says, well, what are you doing? Nobody wants to die and go to hell. But you know what I mean. It goes back to your choice that we're talking about this morning. All right? Because nobody wants to go to hell. You ask anybody, no, I don't want to go to hell. Well, what are you? I've done everything I can do. I've cried, I've prayed, I've done this, I've done that. I'm a Christian. I believe the message. I believe the prophet. Everybody wants to go to heaven. You know, they are going to have to do away with hell. You heard about that, didn't you? Because nobody's going there anymore. Right? You didn't hear about that? They just don't do away with it because nobody ain't going there. Because you go to church and the guy lived dirty and mean all of his life and been all kind of things, and they preach him right into heaven. So they're going to do away with hell. Okay. Now, listen. If I was represented by my earthly parents into, as I read you, the hybrid condition, the existence that we live in, it's easy to see that part. But the hard part is to try to see that we could be represented in Him. Well, why would that be so hard when you can go back to His foreknowledge? And remember now, when we talk about foreknowledge, we talk about, most people think that this means in the mind of God. Now remember, in the mind of God, at the same time He saw what you would do, He saw what the other person would do. You know that Judas Iscariot was in the mind of God. Now, you tell me he wasn't. I'm going to ask you how come he was condemned. See, everybody's in the mind of God. Everybody's ever been in the world is in the mind of God. But everybody that's ever been in the world is not part of the mind. That's what I told you 40 years ago. I don't want to be just in the mind of God because He can look down and see me as I die and go to hell. I want to be a part of the one that's doing the thinking. Now I'm getting to His attributes and things. and dwelling on that and living in Him to do that and see that He represented me. Now, I'll hit this and back up. You remember that Jesus never died to give us an inheritance. Everybody understand that? That's what Brother Brown said. Now, He never died to give us an inheritance. He said your inheritance was eternal life before the world. He said He only died to bring you to your inheritance. That's why you were in Him. Not Him in you. Him in you is by the new birth. You remember that? Where it said, let's see, it said, I in you and you in me. I love that scripture. I in you and you in me. You can say, I in you. Well, that's, you know, well, you know, you and me I can understand because I know where the birth came and where I started. But how was I in Him? That's what Scripture says. All right. So we believe in predestination, yes. But not the way of mankind and their doings in all of the, I use that word doings a lot. Doings means things that you do. Okay. In case you wonder what doings, out on the internet they probably wonder what in the world that guy's saying. Because he's always saying doings, doings, doings. I just simply mean whatever you're doing. You know, and we need to get that. But now listen. We want to read these things. So I'll use it a little bit as a point. So I wanted to pull up number 4, on which is actually the future home, the heavenly bridegroom. It's paragraph 132 and 133, which will be number 4, brothers. But I want to drop down to the bottom, because this is what we basically talk about. The priest, with only intellectual learning, you know what it was. See? All right. It's a devil, because that's what his denomination called it. What did it do? He had no representation, so it blacked him out. You know what he's talking about? The workings of God, the doings of Jesus Christ, and the things that was in his life. He said it was Beelzebub. Now, there's a great religious man that you could not put one mark on his life, especially the high priest, because if you put a mark on the high priest, you could kill him. That was the law. You killed him. What? Well, what about a guy with no marks or whatsoever, and yet he said, oh, that's Beelzebub. Well, no wonder the Bible says they'll stand in the door and won't go in and won't let you go in. Why? Because they blind the people to the truth. That was back there. That's still here today. All right? Well, look. He had no representation, so it blacked him out. Well, we read that a lot. You know, because that's our thinking, and we'll use it. We'll roll it back down now, because I want you to see the other part. Just roll it back down where we can get this part up to top. So once, this little woman, her life up here, she was a prostitute. She was all marred up. But way down in her, here was a big old seed. Here was this great thing. Here was this eternal life that we just see. She had that eternal life when she's here. That's what everybody in the message is teaching now. Well, if it is, you don't need Jesus. That solves a problem. If you come into the world with eternal life, you didn't need Jesus. Solves a problem. But look, that's not what it is. But look, she was all marred up. But way down in her, here was what? Was just a little bit of understanding. Now, what does she have different from the priest? His life was beautiful, wonderful, clean as could be. No marks against him. She was a prostitute. She was out in the world. She was. But yet, she had just a little bit of understanding. I know when the Messiah cometh. Now, how many times do you think that that priest that you're talking about said something about the coming of the Messiah? Are you with me? How many times do you think he talked about it? Probably every service. You could ask him in Isaiah and the thing, boy, he could quote it right off to you and just take a pen and stick it through the scroll. And there it is, you know, Isaiah, a virgin shall conceive, all of these things. Now, what is Brother Branham saying? This guy has a head full of knowledge. This guy can quote the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Well, it wasn't, excuse me, he can only quote it from Genesis to Malachi. Okay, where we'll get it right. But he could quote every bit of it. And all she knew was one little scripture. No? Watch her as we read how she had representation, but he didn't have it. Okay? Down in her was just a little bit of understanding. I know when the Messiah cometh. What do we think about? Go ahead to number 5. This is taken to the future home, which is paragraph 134. I think that was 133 before. This is 134. But this little woman had nothing to present. She was so filthy and dirty as she could be. But notice, way down in her, she's got representation. Oh. And then she was looking for this to be made flesh. She was looking for what she believed to be made flesh. There was her representation. What brought Christ to her? Now, come on, folks. We're going to have to get a little thinking. Hang on, okay. Now, when she said, when the Messiah cometh to you, and Jesus turned around to her and said, and I am he, she grabbed her water pot, she runs into the building, some people, she preaches to them and everything, you know. But that did not give her the new birth at that time. Now, you're going to argue that point. Because you're going to quote back to me that Brother Branham said it was made alive. Amen. I believe what he said. But remember, she could not have eternal life until Jesus Christ died to release that life. So what the Bible says? Said the Holy Ghost had not been given because Jesus has not been crucified or glorified. See, we want to give everybody the Old Testament eternal life. Where can you? If they got eternal life, why did they go to paradise? Why didn't they go right up into glory when they died? This is a simple question. Oh, but Brother Dale, you're so deep. Deep of what? That's simple terminologies that we'll all understand. If you read the Bible, you ought to. Now, if you don't read the Bible, you got a problem. All right, let it roll up just a little. Now, watch. And he's talking to her, and she said, I perceive that you're a prophet. Now, we know the Messiah, which is called Christ, will come. And when he does, he'll do this. He said, I am he. Now, watch. No more doubt. You didn't have to explain it. She saw it. She believed it. Away she went. Why? What did it do to her? It redeemed her. Well, Brother Dale, it redeemed her. I mean, if you have the word quickened. Simeon, what is his, wasn't that his name? Which one of them was it? Said, I'll not die till I see the Lord's Christ. And you know what? One day that was totally made manifest. That didn't give him eternal life. That's where you're tied up in your mind of what you used to think. Hey, I knew that scripture that Jesus Christ had not been glorified. You know, or I knew that when I was in the Baptist church. And I argued with them there that you didn't get the Holy Ghost just because that you said, oh, I believe it. See, they got everybody in the Bible born again. Right. You can't be born again in the Old Testament. That's why Jesus had to die. Right. If he hadn't died to release the life that was within him,
that's it.
How could you get born again?
Right.
Oh. Now watch. What does redeem mean? Bring back. Why didn't he get the priest? He never was up there. See? He had no representation. He come to redeem that which had fallen in the fall. This got messed up, you know, life with the girl and her. But God had her in his thinking before the foundation of the world. And he come to cleanse her. And then, watch him, she had eternal life. Well, you just condemned your own self. Because you said, I haven't condemned nothing. She went to the upper room and received eternal life. May I quote, not about her, but may I quote Brother Branham? Your blessed Catholics who believe in your great Virgin Mary, he said she had to go to the upper room to receive eternal life. Now, may I be a good Catholic if the Virgin Mary had to go to get eternal life? I believe the woman at the well had to go to get eternal life. But see, that's where we don't consider those things. We don't consider eternal life. That's why we had hell as being eternal. And didn't consider that it had to be God's own life to put you in hell. It'd be his life. It'd be eternal life. That means God's in hell. We didn't think about that. Do we think about this? See, she had eternal life. Before the foundation of the world, God knew she had received the message. She always was eternal as far as God is concerned. Is that the quote to the prophet? He has no problem. I have no trouble quoting him where he said you always was eternal. Well, go read right above there. He said if you have eternal life today. I certainly don't think that you're looking at eternal life standing here. Because I'm certainly not looking at it sitting there. I've known a lot of you a long time. You know what? You're getting older. Right? And uglier. But listen. But see, we think just because we can make a quote of something that it's right. Go on to the future home where he's explaining more about her. Go to paragraph 1, go on to number 6. And look what he says. Oh, make known by his prophets all of his manifestations because it's his attributes of his thoughts expressed. Now here it was in this little woman. She was one of his attributes. See? And there was the priest representing the light. He had learned it from the Bible. He had learned that God was God. He had learned that holiness was right. He was learned that there was a law of God. He had learned it because of an intellectual conception. And he was born in the right lineage. He was a Levite. But he only knew it by intellectual conception. And when the light of the hour, why didn't he recognize Jesus Christ? When even, who was it? Is it Nicodemus? They come to him and said, we know that thou art a man sent from God because no man can do the things you've done. We know. It wasn't just I know. We know. They talked about it. Those people discussed it. But it didn't do any good. Why? Because he only knew it by intellectual conception. And when the light of the hour he learned it, but what had happened, not what was happening, what had happened, and when he found what was happening, his denomination said nothing about it. Therefore, he had no representation of it. Okay. What do you think about it? Go ahead to the influence of another. Like the little woman at the well, when she saw something happening. Remember the quote back before? He was basing it upon what had happened. She's basing it upon what is happening. There's a whole lot of difference. What had happened won't save you. My mama saved, so I believe I'm saved. That's on what happened. Past, what's been. You better get your salvation linked upon what is happening now. Right now. This day. You better get it based on that. Of what's taking place. Okay? Like the woman at the well. When she saw something happen, brother, she had two wings. When she saw something happen. She was dealing with the present tense. Now watch. She never questioned. She said, sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. We know when Messiah comes, he'll tell us these things. Oh my. She recognized it by the scripture. And she said, I know when the Messiah cometh, he will tell us these things. She recognized it by the scriptures. Not past scriptures, but knowing what was taking place. You'll never be saved by past tense. You want scripture? He that believeth that God used to be. Is that scripture? No, that's not it, is it? What does the scripture say? He that believeth that God is. Brother Branham's salvation won't save you. Right? It didn't save his children. They got to have their own. May I quote him? That's what he said. All right. But listen. Okay. Where'd we get to? So how comes he tell us these things? She recognized it by the scriptures. All right. Future home. Paragraph 132 and 133, which is what we read before. This is a repeat. Now, this little woman, her first life up here, she was a prostitute. She was all marred up. But way down in her here was just a little bit of understanding. Now, what did we just read? She recognized it by the scripture. Now, she wouldn't recognize it by the scripture because she read Isaiah and read this. And you know what he's talking about. I got in trouble one time talking about, I believe it was this little woman, to a brother that she heard it from her mother. And I was at this brother's church preaching one day, and this feller happened to be visiting that was supposed to have been a half preacher. And he jumped down my throat. He said, I'm tired of this old mother whore doctrine. You talking about she got it from her mama. I said, well, you're calling Brother Brown's message old mother whore doctrine, because he was the one that said she got it. Of course. See, he thought he's right. He was so right until he was adamantly screaming at me, that brother's church. That brother sat there looking at me, and I was going, hey, because that didn't bother me. That's between him and the Lord. I didn't get mad, jump down his throat. I just grinned and said, well, the prophet said she got it from her mother. I said, it's up to you, you know. See, somebody planted a seed in you. Right? Okay. Now watch. This priest with only intellectual learning said it's the devil because that's what his denomination called it. What did it do? He had no representation, so it blacked him out. Yep. She had representation. He had no representation. Okay? Down in there was a little bit of understanding. This is the one I like. So let's read this one. This is number 9, brothers. Paragraph 177 through 182. We won't cover the first part because you can get into it of who it is and what's going on. But look what he says. And she said, I don't have any husband. Now you know the story behind it. Saved all the time. Well, he said, you told the truth. See, because you've had 5. And the one you now have is not your husband. See, watch. Something happened. See? Something took life. May I make a statement that about 3 months down the road I'll preach on it? You know that Brother Branham said you did not become seed by the new birth. You were seed and could be born again, because in none seed there's nothing to quicken. Right? He said Jacob alone had the seed. You see, we've got a lot to do in the message. And you think, well, Brother Dale, he's just so deep. And I'm trying my best to cut this thing down so much until I get feeling dirty about taking it out. Instead of bringing all the thoughts that God deals with us, each one of these you could stop. See, something happened. Something took life. Now remember, something didn't take life and give her eternal life that she didn't need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It was something took life in her. When Abel saw by revelation that it was blood, that did not give him eternal life, but that gave him a great place to stand. This little woman stood on that until the day of Pentecost came. What was quickened to her on the day of Pentecost? What was quickened to the little woman on the day of Pentecost? The little understanding she had of the Word. May I quote the Scripture? The disciples took the Word and held it. That's Scripture. They took the Word and held it. And then the Holy Ghost fell on them in the upper room to make it alive. But you know what it's also said? You notice in two times, I believe it's in Luke, I know it's in Luke, but there's two times that after Jesus' resurrection that he opened the understanding of the Scriptures to the people. Two times. Before he come back, and they were still sitting up in the upper room thinking, I think we got it. We need to get up and leave because we got this, got that. Look. Now, if it hadn't been in there to begin with, well, it was there. Amen. If she hadn't had representation from predestination. Now, what is representation? We say, and I invite you to go look. Brother Brown is not using representation by predestination. Because you're changing your wording. It's representation from predestination. What is representation from predestination? He said if it hadn't been there, it never took hold.
Right.
What is representation from predestination? You had somebody to represent you.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So if your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world, it means somebody represented you. And somebody represented you before you ever got here. And that's why he could love Jacob and hate Esau. Your representation, remember? Do you have representation in heaven? And look what he said. If it hadn't have been in there to begin with, if she hadn't have had representation from predestination, it never took hold. Now, she always was eternal. That gets me the people of the message so much until a good old Baptist knows you've got to be born again.
Amen.
Yeah. There stood priests there, said, this man is Beelzebub. See, no representation. Eternal life. Now watch him. He always was. See, you have eternal life. There's only one form of it. That's God. You were his attribute. He thought of you and knowed you before the foundation of the world in his mind. Mm-hmm. She looked around. Look what a sinful shape she was in. But see, he couldn't get that priest because the priest was an educated scholar, a theologian in the word, but no representation in heaven. See, it wasn't in God's thinking. See, wasn't in God's thinking at all. But this woman was. She said, sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. That's just all he wanted her to see. We want to explain the seals, the vials, the plagues, the trumpets, the deep, right? All he wanted her to see. That he was a prophet. That he was the Messiah. And that's going to hold her till Pentecost. Right? We believe that you are. I believe you're a prophet. Now we know. We don't understand about the prophets now because it's a real late. We know that there's a Messiah coming. And when that Messiah comes, he's going to be the Word, see? He's going to know the secrets of the heart. He's going to do the same thing that you did there, right? That's Jesus talking to her. Said, you must be one of his prophets to forerun him or something. He said, I am he. What was made eternal on the day of Pentecost? The scripture she held. Possessing the gates of the enemy, number 10, 1964, like I told you this morning, I go deliberately, 58, 64, to show you that he's teaching the same thing down here that he teaches up here, and that does away with that glorious revelation. Oh, he changed that later. Well, anything you say to somebody, you tell him something. He changed that later. Well, what's the people standing around? People standing around that don't have no way to check it out or know anything. Boy, he straightened him out, didn't he? He told him, he changed that. That's why I'm disturbing, stubborn enough to say, where did he change it? Sorry. I'm fighting for my life and yours. If you're listening.
Amen.
So I'm having to be rough and tough. You remember what Brother Brown said? He said, if you're soft with them, they think you're trying to pull something over on them. That's his wording. I like it to where it was in these brothers. It was in the military. I remember Brother Jimmy Harris, you know, that guy, he was in Special Forces and all, he said, that guy knocked you down and put his boot in your face and scrub you in the ground or your head and do you and just everything dirty. He said, I hated that guy. He said, I thought, if I ever get a change. But he said, when I got on that battlefield, he said, I loved that man. He said, because he made something out of me. It's according to how it goes, right? You can think what you want to about me. That's all right. All I've got is one gold, possessing the gates of the enemies. Did we read it? She who was represented in heaven before the foundation of the world. And when the light struck it, she recognized it. Now, can I quote to you a little, or thinking? Some of you claimed the new birth before you came into the message. Okay? So I'm talking to you. Say you had the new birth before you came into the message. Well, did the new birth go anything contrary to this prophet's message? If it did, then you didn't have the new birth. You had your own concept. Because you had the new birth, you come directly to the message. Yet I admit I didn't have it. I don't have no problems telling that. Because I'm straight the way I talk. I was 2 years in this message before I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Reading 6 books a day and listening to 2 tapes. Done it. Why? Because if this man was going to be a prophet, I needed to know what he said. I don't mind telling it whatsoever because I tell the truth about it. I worked with a black man. He and I worked right side by side. We had our little desk. And I had on one end of that desk spoken word books and the Bible. You know what he had on the other end of it? Playboy magazines. I wasn't going over it. You know. You remember the story about it? I was preaching on the pyramids. This guy was a great friend of mine. He really was. If Terrence and Anna and can remember, they asked him about me, and he said he's a fine fella. Tom Farbush asked him, said, what do you think about Sam Dale when he found out he knew me? He said, on a scale from 1 to 10, said he's an 11. He was a great guy. And I told him, I said, I'm preaching on the pyramids. He said, I've got a Playboy magazine. It's got an article about the pyramids. I said, bring it, I'll read it. I was sitting in the office at the boss's office in a little cubicle. You could see over it. The black guy that had done it, he was working right down below me, just a few feet. This man come up, looked in the office. Oh, we got the preacher. Come here, everybody. Preacher's got Playboy magazine. This was a white guy that was doing the hollering. That black boy picked him up, shoved him up against the wall. And he said, you leave him alone. He said, that man is studying about a message to preach, and I brought him the Playboy magazine. He honored me because of the stand that I took. I'm a human being. Don't ever think that you're not a human being. But I believe in God taking care of it. Because, see, I've not just got somebody to represent me on earth, which is the advocate. He's still representing me in heaven, because I ain't there yet. What about you? She said, the Messiah, giving his Messiah sign to them, a scriptural sign, they said, Beelzebub, this is taken from Jehovah Jireh, real true. But as soon as that light flashed on that little woman, when he told her what she had done, she said, sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. And we know that the Messiah is coming, and when he comes, he'll tell us those things. See, quickly that predestinated seed caught it, because it was a seed of Abraham, a predestinated seed. What was it? A little understanding of God's word. A little understanding. You can't pick out a scripture in the Bible that's related to you and think of that scripture being connected to you. Amen. All of you know were the ones connected to me. I have no problem. When I was in a Baptist church, when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior in a Baptist church, I thought, well, if I'm going to be a Christian, I need to learn the Bible, because that's the Word of God. As I started reading it, I read all the Old Testament, and I come to Malachi. And I told my wife, I said, according to what I'm reading here, I said, there's going to be two prophets come before the end of the world. I had Malachi 3 and Malachi 4, see. I said, there'll be two prophets come before the end of the world. Any understanding of it? No, I had that much understanding of it, because that's what it said. So when Brother Moat started talking to me, and he said, I want to talk to you about a prophet. I said, where's it at in the Bible? We Baptists, we would accept a teacher. We would accept an evangelist and a pastor, but we didn't care nothing about them prophets and things. You know, they was all gone and everything. And I told him that, you know. I said, but where's it at about him in the Bible? He said, Malachi 4. I said, okay, while you're doing that, this is what happened. I said, while you're doing that, would you mind explaining Malachi 3? I knew what that was. I knew the scripture. I knew Luke 1:17, and I no problem, but I wanted to know if he knowed it. Or was he just going to push me with a big prophet's idea? He took me through John the Baptist. Then he brought in the five times of Elijah and bring it down, and he brought me to Malachi. How could I argue with him when I believe God showed me that before I'd ever heard of the message? Is anything different about you and God than what it used to be? I mean, have you got a different God than you had when you were in the Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Pentecostal? If you did, then something went wrong somewhere. You ought to find out where you connected in the Scripture. Because now listen, what? So he spread around and says, this little woman, that she was predestinated, life laying there into her, that's convinced and then concerned. And he said it was a seed, predestinated seed, that caught it. But now I ask you the question. When was the predestinated seed put in you? According to Christ, the mystery of God revealed. You can pull it up on number 13. And Brother Branham answers that question. When was the seed put in you? You're already his by predestination. That seed has come to life. No world can get it. Oh, how we'd like to stay on this for about an hour. I'm sure you understand. See, Christ and his alone already finished. The seed was there. The seed was already. When was it put there? Before the foundation of the world has predestinated us unto eternal life. Now, what was back before the foundation of the world? When he was self-existing. So we didn't exist with him back there as Mormons and ideas of peoples back there. Okay, one more and then we'll quit. Number 14, why Christ speak? Something to flash across that. He's talking about Moses, all right? And see, he was born with this great gifts and quality within him. And you know that Brother Branham, you mind if I quote it this way? Brother Branham says one time, and I'll be glad to find it, he said everybody in the world was born with a gift of faith. Why are they not saved? Something to flash across that, to bring that thing to life. I like the way Brother Moat used to say it. We'd be praying for somebody, and I could hear him praying, and he'd say, Lord, he said, just give this person a little tug on their heart. And I thought, what a wonderful statement. Just give them a little tug on their heart that they know you're there. What a wonderful. See, the seed of God is actually placed in us from the foundation of the world. And when that light first strikes that seed, it brings it to life. But the life first has to come upon the seed. When was it put there? Before the foundation of the world. What was before the foundation of the world? You can't put nothing back there. And him being self-existing. So why don't you get it right? What was back before the foundation of the world? Christ. And I was chosen in him. Ephesians said, before the foundation of the world. When was the Lamb's Book of Life? Said, before the foundation of the world. When did the morning star sing together and the Son of God? Said, before the foundation of the world. When did God assign you an angel to come to you to be a minister of righteousness unto you? Before the foundation of the world. You might ought to honor those angels a little more than you think. You know, may I quote Brother Branham, paraphrasing it. He said, the reason a lot of people don't see angels, they're not living close enough. That's paraphrasing, but it's very close. Why would he say, kick out all of these vulgar magazines and things out of your home? Dedicate your home, dedicate your children, dedicate everything you have to God. Why? Because you don't want that angel to be offended. Because remember, that angel coming down to be the Holy Ghost is the one on adoption that's got to take back to the Father and tell the Father how the student is behaving itself. That's on the adoption message. Ministering spirits given to minister unto the heirs of salvation. Come on, sisters, you go out there and dress wrong, you act wrong, you do wrong. How does that angel feel? Come on, brothers. How does that angel feel when we do wrong? Then you tie it all together that goes back to the Holy Spirit. And then when you go back to the Holy Spirit, what is the life that you go to? That there are cherubims They're seraphims. Right? Cherubims is more like cure for these different things happening in life and doing. Seraphims is to keep the worshiper clean. That's your prophet. How can he keep us clean when we deliberately won't follow him? If you understand what I meant in starting off, those people there in the Old Testament, when they found out Moses needed all that stuff to make that tent for their God, they just went everywhere. And they just gathered stuff. Whatever was needed, they just went and gathered it. And they brought it back for Moses and them to use it. They didn't have to run them out there and tell them to go do it. They done it voluntarily. Because, see, they were going to have a place for their God. Right? They were going to have a place for their God to come down. And you remember what happened when they got it finished. The glory of the Lord came in until they couldn't even worship. He was satisfied. We talk about the scripture there where he talks about Jesus and being pleased to dwell. Why don't we take that to ourselves?
Amen.
Is he pleased to dwell in you? Come on, musicians. What about it? An advocate. Just like I said, we just all think of an advocate as being the Holy Ghost to take care of us and keep this, that, and the other. The Holy Ghost is a great advocate. Amen. He does his job. But I had representation in heaven if I have eternal life today. That representation in heaven represented me. What do you think about it? Let's stand. An advocate. One who stands in my place. The little woman, she had representation from predestination.
Amen.
And how does he predestinate? Come on. How does God predestinate? Peggy said that to me the other day. She said, there's one thing for certain. We ought to know what foreknowledge is by now. Now, and I'm not throwing off on her. She knows it's true. Because I wasn't making light of her. In about 2 minutes, she made a statement. I said, honey, I said, with that statement, you don't understand foreknowledge. I said, you're not getting what I'm talking about. I didn't want to say that to her. But it was true. So you said foreknowledge, you just know before. Take it all the way back and go all the way into the very mind and let it become a part of that very God in his, not just his thinking, but his very thoughts comes out into foreknowledge. What about it? What we got, brother?
AD in the red book.
Anybody have a need? The altar's open. See, God knows what you'll do. He knows what we'll do. But he don't make us do anything. He gives you a choice.
Coming soon.
He gives you an opportunity. What a wonderful thing.
Maybe evening, morning, or at noon. Wedding of the bride, united with the groom, we shall see the King when he comes. We shall see the King, hallelujah. We shall see the King, glory, glory. We shall see
the
King.
Not able to sleep in problem tonight. So let's pray. Lord Jesus. We send this prayer call to take care of all the problems. We believe you, and we thank you. And we just ask you, Lord, to help her.
Are you ready?
Give her comfort, because losing her dad, sure, it's made a lot of trouble. But yet, we know one that can take the place. You just go back and take care of it. In Jesus' name. Just put it on a pillar, right? Or on the bed. Pin it to the bed. Okay. Anybody else?
We shall see the King. We shall see the King.
I got that.
Are you
concerned about it,
Uncle?
They're talking about having to take one leg off, maybe both or whatever. Lord Jesus, our brother's more concerned with his soul because that's the pride of heart. We ask you to just reach down and touch this one and speak to the soul. Let them understand and bring that unto you, Lord. We love you in Jesus' name.
We shall see the King. We shall see the King when He comes. He's coming in power. Oh, hail the blessed hour. We shall see the King when He comes. There's a blessed, blessed time that's coming soon. Maybe evening, morning, or at noon. The wedding of the
You heard our sister, Lord. She's coming to you to talk to you. Because it's you that she's let down on. Because she's not studying and doing the way she needs to be. We just ask you to come down and take the place. And just be that in our heart and our life. In Jesus' name. How about anybody else?
Oh, hail the blessed hour. We shall see the King when He comes.
It's coming, let's see.
Are you ready? Should the Savior come today? Would Jesus
say, little buddy's got a rash. And she's allergic to something there, Lord. So we just condemn whatever it is that's causing the problem. And we ask you to take care of the rice and be away in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody else that have a need?
We shall see the King when He comes.
What about it? Do you have representation from predestination?
Oh, hail blessed hour.
Do you have somebody to represent you?
When He comes. Oh, my brother, are you ready for the call?
Could it be
to crown your Savior, King, and Lord of all?
Well, I believe the message, Brother Dale. Whatever
the
you want.
The kingdoms of this world.
I want you and me both.
Shall shoot before
all of us.
We
get ourselves to the place
where
Christ
comes.
Is first. And everything else is
we
second.
We shall see the King. We shall see the King.
The best we do wouldn't
we
be worthy.
See the King when He comes.
But yet at least we can try.
It's coming in power.
We can try to serve God.
Hail the blessed hour.
Not let the world and all the things get in the way. There was a time in our lives, church, and you know it, that we wouldn't let things get in our way. We were set on the Word, set on church, and doing. We didn't let nothing get in our way. You know that. But I see that in you, and I see it in me. We're just slipping back. We're becoming at ease in Zion. Where was that desire a long time ago? Return unto me, Lord, the joy of thy salvation. What about it? Think on these things. Father, we thank you for today, and we thank you for your love and your grace unto us. We've tried to express what we think and tried to do the best we could, Lord, and we pray that you'd take that and that you would Make it to dwell into our hearts and our lives, that we would see Christ and want to just follow after, because we don't have any hopes outside of Christ. If we don't have no representation, we're in bad shape. But Lord, we know we got somebody to represent us. And he's not just up in heaven sitting up there on a throne. I love that when I first heard the prophet say it. He said even that when Adam and Eve and them sinned, he said God didn't step in heaven. He said he just come down to fellowship with them. And Lord, forgive us and guide us. Keep us in your love. Take care of us on the way home. Give everybody a safe journey. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now remember, services Tuesday night. Okay? Not Wednesday.
God.